It's Valentine's Day and a pretty good time to talk about relationships, committed relationships, lasting relationships. So let's do that. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio, and I'm your host, Alan Jennings. By day, most nights, and plenty of weekends too, I am the executive director of the Community Action Committee of the Lehigh Valley. You may have heard of it. I like to stir things up, and unbelievably, I guess, the local NPR affiliate, WDIY, gives me this microphone at least once a month, sometimes twice a month, sometimes even more, to talk about the public affairs issues that I think matter. My guest tonight are two individuals from very different generations whose experiences have been very different. Liz Bradbury is a trailblazer. She is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Diversity Network, and I think, I go back paying attention to daily affairs in the Lehigh Valley, 1960, when I was 2 years old, but when I came back from college and started paying attention to, how we make the world a better place, Liz Bradbury was already speaking up on behalf of gay, lesbian issues. Liz, welcome.
Thank you. Welcome to me, too. From me, too.
Also joining us is another human rights activist who, at 25, has the benefit of that trail Liz and so many other brave activists blazed. Adrian Shanker is the president, he's a volunteer president of Equality Pennsylvania. It's a statewide political organization advocating for equality for lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community. Adrian, welcome.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Movements often show signs of intergenerational conflict. Liz, I hate to paint you in the same corner as myself, but we've been at our movements for a long time, and when the newcomers come along, you kind of like think, you have no idea, you don't have any understanding of the history of the struggle. And I just wonder if you look at Adrian and think, you twerp, you have no idea.
I've been doing this for since I was in graduate school in the 70s, and I have to say that I think that about people, but I've known Adrian for 7 years, since he was a freshman in college, and he is one of the top activists in the country, and he knows how to do a lot of things, a lot of political things that are much better. He's much better at it than I am. And so I can't assign twerp to him at all, although I have thought that about other people, I have to say.
So, Adrian, my guess is that you're going to, out of mutual respect for Liz, given how kind she was just now, you're not going to say that Liz has no idea because she's, from the days when there was no social media, there was no tweets, there was, a different era, different culture.
No, I think it's very important that younger LGBT activists, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender activists anywhere in the country pay due respect to people that have been paving the way and fighting for equality since long before it was popular to do so. Here in the Lehigh Valley, we're lucky that Liz and her spouse, Patricia Sullivan, have been fighting for equality here for many years. But all over the country, there are people that have come before us, and it's really important that we recognize past struggles because we can't win the struggles right now without these struggles of the past having already been paved for us.
We call the longtime activists Stonewall lesbians, but if you're really old, you're a Stonehenge lesbian, and I think that's where I fit in, perhaps.
The Lehigh Valley, I don't think a lot of people necessarily think of as front edge, progressive, risk taking community. It has a lot of tendencies to react, to resist, to push back, to not welcome, to not include, and yet the two of you are real. You've been enormously successful, Adrian. At your young age, I'm jealous of the success you've had at your age. You've got a whole slew of successes already, and we'll talk about those. But I think it's pretty remarkable that the Lehigh Valley has Liz Bradbury and Adrian Schenker here doing the work that you're doing.
But part of the reason that we both live here is because there's work to do. And I think that it's important to understand that the LGBT political movement doesn't just exist in our largest cities across the country, but that we need to win locally even when the geography is less convenient than in, say, New York or San Francisco or Washington, D.C. We need to be fighting and winning in Allentown, Bethlehem, and Easton, but not just in our cities, also in our rural areas. Liz and I have both been involved in efforts to protect LGBT youth in public schools in Bangor and Northampton, and we fought back against school boards committed to removing rights for LGBT youth, and we won because we fought the same way we would fight anywhere else, and we need to be here, and we need other people to join us in places outside of our biggest cities so that we can continue winning.
When progressive friends of mine have moved to California or to, you know, Minneapolis, St. Paul, I've always said, you know, what are you going there for? They don't need you. We need you. So I think that's the point that you're making.
I think one of the things about the Lehigh Valley too is that there actually is quite a bit of room and ability to move forward. You know, in the 1970s there was an effort to pass an anti-discrimination ordinance in the city of Allentown, and I have to give a nod to the people who are still around who tried to do that. But the reality is that by the 1990s things really were beginning to change, and there was room to get that done. And there are communities where things just can't happen, and that's not the Lehigh Valley. I think the Lehigh Valley is not a backward, impossible place at all.
Before we talk about the unbelievable rate of progress that is, I think, accelerating almost every day, let me just get a couple of issues out of the way. These are the kinds of things that people say that you know better, they should know better, but let's just deal with a couple of them. Is being gay or lesbian a choice?
For me, being gay is not a choice. It's how I was born. However, I think that's asking the wrong question, because whether or not I was born this way or I chose to be this way, I'm happy, and I wouldn't change it for anything. And I think that the question that we need to ask is, should people have rights to be themselves? Right. And the answer to that is yes. We should have rights to be ourselves, whoever we are, whether it's a member of a racial minority, gender diversity, or sexual diversity, as we have here. And I think that the question over if being gay is a choice is one that infers that being gay is less than good or less than equal in some way. And the more important question is should we secure rights for everyone?
Yeah, one of the things I always say when people talk about that type of thing, well, you know, other people who are other minorities can't change. I often say, well, what if they could? What if somebody who was African American could stop being African American? Would we say, well, we're not going to give you rights anymore because you could stop being African American and then you wouldn't be in a position to not have those rights? And that's a ridiculous thing to say. I mean, people have the right to be whomever they are, as Adrian said.
The other pushback that I hear all the time, justifying exclusion, justifying discrimination, justifying bigotry, is that a 3,000-year-old scripture line, about one line, I think, in the entire what Christians call Old Testament, which is sort of a diss of Judaism because it isn't an Old Testament to Jews, but what's the response to the Leviticus line? Because I think that's the only place where it says we should treat you like you're not God's, you know, family.
Without entering a debate around theology, which I'm not really interested in doing, I will say, first off, I'm an observant Jew, and there are numerous LGBT activists that are deep people of faith throughout the country, and one is not exclusive of the other. However, We're really lucky to live in the United States where we have a separation of church and state, and the idea is that we don't have government endorsement of any religion. We don't have government preference for one religion over the other, and there are numerous faiths, including my own, that affirm full equality for the LGBT community, and the reality is that in our country and in our society, we're supposed to value our constitutional rights, not people's religious beliefs or religious preferences.
The other thing is, though, that we do value religious freedom here, and part of religious freedom is allowing people who are in progressive religions to be able to act in a progressive way within their religion, so that if you have a religion that believes in full equality for same-sex couples or believes in full equality for gay people or transgender people or bisexual people, then that religion is free to practice in the way that it chooses to do so.
You're listening to listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY FM 88.1. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Adrian Shanker, who is the president of Equality Pennsylvania, and Liz Bradbury, who's the executive director of Pennsylvania Diversity Network. Both of you made pretty significant sacrifices with respect to your earning ability, your the work that you do. Adrian, you were in an organizing position. It was a decent paid job. You left that position to take a job in the private sector so you could concentrate on this work. And Liz, I know you too. I don't think the executive director Pennsylvania Diversity Network is a very high paying job.
It's a less than part time pay scale with no benefits. But otherwise, it's
a good gig anyway.
It's a good gig. Yeah. No, it's car fare.
All of us who do work that we're passionate about. And Alan, you run a nonprofit, so I'm sure you have employees that could be earning more in the private sector. As I'm sure you could be earning more in the private sector. But the reality is that people who are passionate about change are willing to make sacrifices. For me, I volunteer in this role at Equality Pennsylvania, and I don't even submit for travel reimbursements when I drive to speak in different places throughout Pennsylvania. And so there's a commitment that we make to be able to make the changes we believe in. And that's a time commitment. It is a financial commitment. And it's also a commitment of how we're prioritizing things in our life. And I think that for me, I want to live in a society where we're all equal and we're all treated equal. My partner and I are going to be married this summer, and in our lifetime, I hope that's a legal marriage in Pennsylvania. So, I'm willing to put in the time and the effort and yes, the money and fight for these changes that we so desperately need.
Liz, Adrian has a younger person really had the benefit of, as I mentioned earlier in the show, the trail that you blazed. And yet, you've been around to watch that trail smooth and widen and become a better mechanism for going down that road. How have you seen things change in the years that you've been doing the work you've been doing?
In terms of change, I think that The biggest change, I think, that's really making all of these things happen, because so many things are happening, and I think we're going to talk about, just like six major things have happened in the last week. In fact, it's been a really terrible decade for bigots, I have to say. It's a lousy decade for bigots. The significant thing, I think, that may have happened is that people who are part of the LGBT community, the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community, and their allies and their families and their loved ones, have stopped thinking that they don't deserve these rights. And now people are beginning to realize that, and it's something I always want to say when I'm in a public speaking engagement, that still in the state of Pennsylvania, you can be fired for being gay. And people don't understand that. And when we tell them that, they're outraged. When I speak that in a public, when I talk about that in a public venue, the people are outraged by it.
And that's not even the worst of it. I mean, yes, you can be fired from your job for being gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender. You can also be denied housing from a landlord or a realtor. You can be denied public accommodation. It's actually legal in Pennsylvania, Alan, to construct a heterosexuals-only water fountain.
Yeah.
That's perfectly legal in Pennsylvania outside of the 30 municipalities that have passed their own laws.
Yeah.
Wow.
We don't have an anti-bullying law for students in our public schools. Our hate crimes law was struck down on a technicality by the Supreme Court, so our local law enforcement doesn't have the resources that they need to adequately prosecute bias-motivated crimes against our community. And we have no form of relationship recognition on the state level for same-sex partners, including inheritance rights and the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of state-level benefits, in addition to the thousands of federal benefits that are already denied.
Mm-hmm. So that when my partner Patricia and I, who are going to be celebrating our 25th year together next month, and we are legally married in Connecticut.
Congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Did anybody get flowers?
Not yet.
Do flowers.
Not yet. But it's not till next month. When one of us, I mean, we're an older couple, and when one of us passes away, the other person is going to have to pay a 15% survivor tax because we're seen by the state of Pennsylvania. A survivor tax on everything we own together because we're seen by the state of Pennsylvania as strangers to each other. And because we're strangers to each other, we have to incur the tax as though we have no relationship at all. And there's nothing we can do about that in the state of Pennsylvania because Pennsylvania has no relationship recognition at all.
When you think back, whether you've been part of the history or you know about the history, what are the, you know, 2, 3, 4 events that you think were really the events that brought the most significant change to the point that today the pace, you can almost not keep up with all the progress?
I think in 1995, when we were passing the beginning to try to pass the anti-discrimination ordinance in Allentown, and incidentally, Alan, you were there. I talked to you. I remember
what you said,
as a matter of fact. But you said, yeah, I think you should pass that. At that time, there was an effort, an understanding in the state of Hawaii that the Supreme Court was saying in the state of Hawaii that people should have, same-sex couples should have relationship recognition. And what happened was a constitutional amendment that overturned changed the constitution in Hawaii that said that marriage would not be open to same-sex couples. And that whole movement of constitutional amendments was very devastating, I think, to have people suddenly voting on people's civil rights. I don't think that really had happened in most people's lifetimes. I think that, you know, since the 1800s was the case that people were voting on whether or not people should have liberty and civil rights by vote in the ballot box. And the constitutional amendments and those kinds of referenda have been really painful, I think. But so that was a setback, and I think Adrian had.
Well, I also think that on the positive side, the election of Barack Obama as president was energizing for the LGBT political movement throughout the country, both for, you know, the mainstream people that lobby in Washington and the kind of the grassroots activists all over the country demanding change, as opposed to using our resources to fight against bad things, like we did with 8 years of President Bush.
Yeah.
You know, we've been able to fight for good things, and not just federally, but it's energized communities all over the country. And I think that that's a transitional moment for our movement.
You're listening to WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. This is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, Adrian Shanker and Liz Bradbury. We're talking about relationships on Valentine's Day. Totally appropriate. Stay with us, so we'll be right back.
For program support on WDIY, we thank Touchstone Theater on Bethlehem's South Side in their 32nd season, presenting Fresh Voices, created and performed by the Touchstone Apprentices with guidance from the Touchstone family. For tickets and information for this event, February 22nd and 23rd, 610-867-1689 or touchstone.org.
Lou Reed, Velvet Underground, you gotta love it. I saw Katie Lang at the State Theater years ago. It was about the time that she finally came out.
We were there.
And you were there.
Yeah.
How many times did you see her? I've seen her like four times.
Can you beat that? No.
Yeah.
No.
And I don't know if you remember, she came out dressed in this kind of like chiffon kind of thing, mm-hmm. very ladylike. And said in this kind of introspective way, you know, that there's been news about me lately, and said, I think it's time that I make a confession. And she says, I'm a Lawrence Welk fan. And the bubbles start going, and one of her new Katie Lang songs went from there. I want to mention that Ray Schwab has yet again joined me in the studio. Ray's the guy that makes sure that I don't screw this up too badly. He's a volunteer. He's been here many, many times. He never makes a mistake. And, Ray, I am grateful to you for continuing to help out. We went into the break talking about any of the events that were really like the seminal events, the transformational events. What were there events that really set you back? I mean, things that either the GLBT community made a tactical mistake or a strategic error, or a friend that you a political friend did something stupid, or are there any events that really kind of set the movement?
Well, we
back?
Haven't.
Nationally, in 2007, there was a big problem that did set the movement back because there was an internal divide. There was an effort to pass a federal non-discrimination law called ENDA, the Employment Non-Discrimination Act, which would not have passed with President Bush in the White House.
Anyway.
Yeah. Congressman Barney Frank, one of the only openly gay members of Congress, and our largest national movement, the Human Rights Campaign, led an effort to remove transgender people from the law. And 300 gay rights organizations throughout the country, including statewide and regional organizations, in addition to many national ones, spoke out strongly and fiercely against it. And they were joined by Congresswoman, now Senator Tammy Baldwin. So it turned what could have been a mobilization for the LGBT movement into an internal schism that only recently has been, you know, kind of resolved.
But I would like to add that our passages of the anti-discrimination ordinances, even 10 years ago in 2002, when we passed the addition of sexual orientation and gender identity to Allentown's anti-discrimination ordinance, it was fully inclusive of transgender people, as was the one in Easton and Bethlehem. So it's a big mistake to do that, and that is true. It was very hard to heal that, I think.
All of Pennsylvania's municipal anti-discrimination laws are fully inclusive of the entire LGBT community, mm-hmm. And I think that it was a learning point nationally for the LGBT movement, and actually the new leadership at the Human Rights Campaign is totally on board with making sure that they're fully inclusive. But, you know, that was a growing pain that a bill had stalled for 30 years, and there was an effort to get something done, and it was not well thought out. But we've recovered, and I think mm-hmm. every movement has that.
Mm-hmm. This is Valentine's Day, and it is a totally appropriate time to talk about really the 20th, the main human rights campaign of the late 20th century and early 21st century. We're going to start getting into some of the specific issues now. My guests are Adrian Shanker, who's the president of Equality Pennsylvania, who's been on this planet for a mere 25 years, even though he sounds like has the wisdom of about a 150-year-old.
He does.
And Liz Bradbury, executive director of the Pennsylvania Diversity Network,
who has been on the planet for 150 years.
And she has been on the planet for 150 years.
Because I'm a Stonehenge lesbian. That's the way it is.
Let's talk about bullying. You know, I grew up in probably the tail end of the era of just accepting mistreatment, you know, homophobia, really. The stuff that, you know, and some of my friends still say that is appalling. You know, that stuff led to a lot of bullying. What kind of progress is being made? I mean, I think a lot of the bullying that we talk about in schools these days has to do with gay, lesbian issues.
Yeah, it's one of the most common forms of bullying against youth in schools is bullying based on a person's sexual orientation or gender identity. And it's important that it's based on their perceived sexual orientation or gender identity. You know, kids in school aren't bullied based on their attraction. They're bullied based on people's stereotypes about who they are. And it's those stereotypes that are that creates a perception of what and who people are. So, and unfortunately, this bullying has become really an epidemic, and it's not just you know, as the old adage was, you know, quote, boys will be boys. It's a pervasive problem in our society, in our schools, that makes schools unsafe places for kids to learn. And the ultimate benefit for having public schools is to create safe learning environments for all students so that they can achieve their full potential, their educational potential, not to make people scared to go to school.
Yeah, we want to see anti-bullying acts passed in the state that are really fully comprehensive, and we want to see that nationally. But there are programs that that people can do in schools if they really are committed to ending bullying that has to do with sexual orientation and gender identity, and in the same way that they follow those kinds of programs to end bullying based on race and ethnic origin. And the way to do it, it's a three-step, Pennsylvania Diversity Network has a three-step program that we have presented in several different venues, where you create a non-discrimination policy that makes it very, very clear to students that they are not allowed to bully, they're not allowed to use inappropriate language, you're not allowed to use hate language, and you name the hate language. You don't say, just don't say mean things, you say, don't say that's so gay, and then you have consequences for that for both the students and the faculty if they're not dealing with it. And then you take another step where you teach history that is fully inclusive of LGBT people, where you're not just talking about civil rights issues, although you talk about civil rights issues, but you talk fully inclusively about famous people, including their sexual orientation and how that influenced their work, so that when you talk about Walt Whitman, you talk about that he was gay, how that affected his life, how successful he was. When you talk about famous musicians like Elton John, you talk very positively about him being gay and how that influenced his life. And when you do that, students end up being less uncomfortable with people. They see people as a more elevated and more reason, they have more reason to be positive about the LGBT community. It's worked in other countries, and we need to do it here.
There's also a legislative fix. And in Pennsylvania, Equality Pennsylvania is supporting a bill called the PASS Act, Pennsylvania Safe Schools. And it's very simple. You know, schools, public schools in Pennsylvania have to provide, if this law would pass, they would have to provide a plan to prevent and combat bullying in their schools. They have to include sexual orientation and gender identity as protected classes of students, you know, students that could be bullied, and they have to have training for their teachers and administrators to know how to respond to this kind of bullying when it occurs. This is not a controversial issue. It's not a partisan issue. In fact, almost every Lehigh Valley state representative is a co-sponsor of this bill. Well, actually, only two aren't.
Bipartisan.
It's bipartisan support. Its prime sponsor is a Republican. So this bill has broad support. And if the legislature were to pass the PASS Act, then our schools would be safer places for all of our kids.
Say the name of that act again.
It would be easier to name the two than it would be the others who have supported it.
Well, all of the Lehigh Valley congressional, state legislative delegation, and it's in the House, keep that in mind, are co-sponsors with the exception of Representative Samuelson and Representative Emmerich. But everybody else is, you know, Representative Simmons, Representative McKenzie, Schlossberg, McNeil, Julie Harhart, Marsha Hahn, Representative Freeman.
Carrie Day.
No, he is not either. When you start getting into Berks County there, you're throwing me off.
No, Gary's in Lehigh County.
I know. He has a sliver,
yes. He's still in Lehigh County. I think where incredible progress is being made is on marriage. And, you know, that's kind of why I picked this topic to talk on St. Valentine's Day. today, the Illinois Senate passed the Marriage Equality Act. You know, the pace of progress on this issue has been remarkable. Liz, you've been with the same partner now for 25 years.
Yes.
You've been married for
three and a half years.
Adrian, you're going to go to the same state that Liz had to go to.
The same town.
Yeah.
Same town in Connecticut.
Same hall.
To get married later this summer. Is this the gold ring of the movement? Are you excited? Are you pleased? Do you think there's way too much work to still be done, or you think we're on the
With marriage equality comes a lot of things. When you talk about benefits, when you talk about being supported, being out, you know, if we have full marriage equality, then military spouses who are in same-sex couples are fully protected. All those kinds of things. There's so many different kinds of rights that are included. Inheritance and housing and lease transfer and bereavement leave and child custody and just divorce protections, even domestic violence protections. All those kinds of things are really, really protected when you have marriage equality. We've seen enormous strides just in the last week. There's been about five major things that have happened. Rhode Island House, the House voted 51-19, a huge portion in favor of marriage equality in January. The United Kingdom House of Commons also voted overwhelmingly 400-175 in support of marriage equality. So that's going to pass in the United Kingdom for full marriage equality. France, the National Assembly, just got 329-229 yes votes in favor of full marriage equality. This is very, very significant stuff. The announcement by Leanne Panetta of the spousal benefits that same-sex couples will be able to have in the military was just announced in the last week. Or last week and a half. So all of these things are happening. These things are happening every day. And Illinois today was 34-21 in the House in favor of marriage equality. And if Illinois, or when Illinois passes their marriage equality, that will be the 10th state that has full marriage equality. We have to recognize, though, that we're all not getting the federal benefits because although we're legally married, though Trish and I are legally married in Connecticut, we don't get federal benefits, and there are 1,138 federal benefits that we lose out on because the United States government, DOMA, which is called the short name for the Defense of Marriage Act, keeps us from getting those federal recognitions, which really hurts us.
It hasn't just been this past week, Alan. It's been a very exciting year. In Pennsylvania, the state Democratic Party endorsed marriage equality. Dozens of mayors throughout the state, including the mayors of Bethlehem, Easton, Reading, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh.
Allentown?
Not yet with the mayor of Allentown, but dozens of mayors throughout the state. The mayor of Macungie has. They've all joined this campaign called Mayors for Marriage Equality, and it's a campaign through the U.S. Conference of Mayors. We've seen growing public support from labor unions to faith leaders to businesses, including large corporate Fortune 500 corporations coming out for marriage equality. And mm-hmm. and this shift is very exciting. It is an everyday thing, as Liz mentioned, and it is really something that we should all be looking forward to. It's a really important issue, but I want to remind you and the listeners that it's not the only issue,
right?
Because even when we will win marriage equality, but even when we win marriage equality, we still have non-discrimination to fight for. We still have anti-bullying and safe schools and dozens of other issues that are equally important. And it's not that one is more important than the other. It's that we need to be fully equal in all places in society.
Let's talk about the power of the GLBT community. Economic power often brings with it political power, but sometimes it works the other way around. Where do you think the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender movement really got its power? Did it get its power from a political movement or from economic muscle?
Well, I want to say something a little bit. I want to answer a different question about economics for a second first, because I think the economics play an important role in LGBT equality, and that's that it makes good business sense to give equality. And that's why we're seeing so much support from labor unions and major corporations alike, because they know that it's better for Pennsylvania's economy, it's better for the United States economy to live in a place where we have non-discrimination and marriage equality. And that's why corporate leaders are stepping up to the plate, and why union leaders are stepping up to the plate, because it's good for everybody.
When you talk about domestic partner benefits, in the Lehigh Valley, we have a number of corporate Fortune 500 companies that give those domestic partner benefits, and some who don't, and they're making a big mistake by not doing it because they're in competition with each other. And we've been able to demonstrate absolutely that domestic partner benefits not only doesn't cost a company any money at all, but it ends up saving the company money by being able to retain employees. It doesn't cost anymore. So and I'm sure WDIY gives those benefits, I think that it's what Adrian's talking about, the economic aspect is really true. I think in the Lehigh Valley, in terms of our political power came by organizing votes and by being able to give information to voters, to the gay and lesbian voters and their allies and other progressives, and say, this candidate supports your right to not be discriminated against in employment. And then have people recognize that. We too frequently, in a lot of the local elections, the person who's running for office says that they're in favor of economic development and against crime. And pretty much that's a universal thing. There's very few people, oddly enough, that are pro-crime. And so so what it ultimately boils down to is something that tells you really something about that candidate, and whether or not they're going to stick up for people's rights really makes a big difference when people are voting.
And it's about creating a farm team of locally elected officials that are 100% supportive of full equality. And Equality Pennsylvania endorses candidates for office, whether they're running for school board or city council or district judge, all the way up to governor and Congress and Senate. And we do it for a reason. We want to put our elected officials on the record, and the best time to do that is when they're running for office. And we put them on the record, we challenge them on the issues, and if they're good, we endorse them, and we let our 50,000 members across the state know that they're good and the right person to vote for. And if they're bad, then we let people know that as well.
Right.
You're listening to listener-supported community public radio. This is WDIY. The show is Lehigh Valley Discourse. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guest tonight, on St. Valentine's Day, the day that we honor loving, lasting relationships, are Adrian Shanker, who is the president of the Board of Directors of Equality Pennsylvania, a statewide political organization advocating for equality for the LGBT community, and the Lehigh Valley's sage and longest running leader of the movement here in Lehigh Valley, and that's Liz Bradbury, who's the executive director of the Pennsylvania Diversity Network. We're going to take a short break. Stick with us.
Making me high. The smell of Sunday. WDIY is proud to present the 13th annual Heart of the Valley Antique Show on March 2nd and 3rd. Come see 25 exhibitors featuring Americana, including textiles, furniture, pottery, folk art, toys, and much more. The show is held in the historic Charles Brown Ice House in the heart of historic Bethlehem. For show hours, directions, or information, WDIY.org.
Is this the world we created? What did we do it for? Is this the world we invaded? Against the law, so it seems in the end. Is this what we're all living for today? The world that we created.
Freddie Mercury. We're speaking with Liz Bradbury and Adrian Shanker. We're talking about lasting relationships on Valentine's Day and talking about gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender issues in a world that's just changing just so quickly. It's amazing. Yet there's so much more work to do. Adrian, let me just give you a little bit of time to talk about the things that you still need to get done and that are kind of like right on the horizon. Like what are the near term agenda items for you?
Well, I think that there's not just one, and that's important to understand that this is a movement. So we have lots of components of our movement and lots of different needs that need to be addressed. You know, on the national level, I think that there's really a chance to make some big changes and you know, everyone that's fighting nationally is pushing for President Obama to sign an executive order granting non-discrimination to all federal contractors, to LGBT employees of all federal contractors. And that would be a sea change. It would protect thousands and thousands of employees across the country. If Congress would get their act together, then, you know, passing the Employment Non-Discrimination Act would be, you know, a key victory. But in the short term, as they start to consider comprehensive immigration reform, you know, we're all really hoping that they include an amendment called the Uniting American Families Act, which will allow same-sex partners to sponsor the other person for the purposes of a green card.
Immigration is a significant federal right.
So there's a lot on the state level. You know, passing a non-discrimination law is of really key importance, but that's not the only thing. I think that we have a real chance now having two openly gay state legislators for the first time, one in each political party, to pass an anti-bullying law to protect youth in public schools and possibly to, you know, to bring up a hate crimes law at some point. So I think that there's a lot of needs that can be met on both the federal and state level. And I'll say one other thing, which is locally, there's a lot of opportunity, and that's where we've also seen a lot of our success. You know, moving forward, every city in Pennsylvania should have a non-discrimination law and offer same-sex partner benefits to their employees. Mm-hmm. Every school district should have a comprehensive policy in place to prevent bullying and to respond to bullying in their public schools. And I think that that our work is cut out for us, but there's a lot of potential and a lot of low-hanging fruit, you know, to win more equality for our movement.
Right. And all eyes are turned to the Supreme Court, which next month will be deliberating on the Windsor case and the Prop 8 case, and both of them have to do with marriage equality and the effectiveness of DOMA and whether or not parts of that will be repealed or can be or parts of or whether Prop 8 will be overturned and then people will be able to marry again in the state of California. So a lot of things are happening.
Just the thought of Scalia squirming is almost worth this, you know, no matter what the outcome is, just making Scalia, you know,
he's
crazy.
He's not the squirmy type, though.
Or crazier. the Republican versus Democratic issue, you know, libertarians are Republicans. And, you know, libertarians are supposed to be about personal liberties. And many of them. What's that? I mean, Barry Goldwater was very good for, you know, long ago.
Barry Goldwater was good because his grandson was gay. And had his grandson not been gay, he would not have come out in favor of gay rights. And I think that's something that everybody needs to understand. If you're an LGBT person, not at all. If you're an LGBT person,
I mean,
he came forward to PFLAG and he said, what do you need for me to help you? Because I love my grandson and I don't want him to be discriminated against. And that's what kicked him in the head.
So it's a la Dick Cheney. I mean, Dick Cheney was...
Dick Cheney, I don't know.
But I do think it's important, though, that this isn't... It doesn't have to be a partisan issue. There are Republicans that support equality for the LGBT community, and there are Democrats who don't.
Right.
And in Pennsylvania, we see this on the state level, and federally, we see it on the federal level, and neither one of our organizations is partisan in our approach.
And we're a 501c3; we're not a political organization. So it's important to note that
politicians of either political party who oppose equality are on the wrong side of history.
Right.
From the party platform perspective, there is a big difference. The Democratic Party nationally has marriage equality in their party platform. I was at the Democratic convention this year when we voted on that, and it was a big change from what happened in Tampa a couple weeks earlier when they voted for an anti-equality platform. National Republican Party, there are many numerous elected officials at the state, federal, and local levels who are Republicans and Democrats who both oppose and support full equality. In Pennsylvania, we have two openly gay legislators at the state level. One is Representative Brian Sims from Philadelphia, who is a Democrat, and one is Representative Mike Fleck from Central Pennsylvania, who is a Republican. And our LGBT Equality Caucus in the state legislature has 58 members, three of whom are Republicans. So it's not about partisanship, but it is about winning, and it is about equality.
And one of the stand-up leaders has been Senator Pat Brown.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, absolutely.
Who happens to be Republican, and I almost have to like remind people that because he's done a lot of things that
Senator Brown has been a supporter of, in fact, the prime sponsor of non-discrimination in the state Senate. He's been a supporter of anti-bullying initiatives for our public schools, and he deserves a lot of credit for being in leadership and standing up for equality for the LGBT community.
And the the photo negative of that, as an example of a Democrat, would be his counterpart in Northampton County.
Senator Bascola has been the opposite. Senator Bascola, while she may support some forms of equality, has not been has certainly not been a champion of equality. She's in the past even supported a constitutional marriage amendment. So, I think that's just evidence that this isn't a partisan issue. And on the federal level, both Senator Casey and Senator Toomey oppose marriage equality. Both of them supported the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. This isn't partisan, but again, it's about fighting for equality. And maybe we should have a race between Senator Casey and Senator Toomey to see who can become supportive of marriage equality faster. And I don't think that we can make any assumptions about who that would be.
Sure.
I just want to make sure people understand that a 501c3 nonprofit organization cannot endorse.
Right.
We can't encourage you to vote a certain way. We can't encourage you to register to vote a certain way. But we can speak the facts. I mean, we can tell people that this legislator did this, that legislator did that, and so I just want to make sure people understand there is a difference.
Adrian's organization is a political organization that can do that kind of thing, and our organization, Pennsylvania Diversity Network, is a sort of case by case advocacy organization that runs programs and different kinds of things. And I did want to say that we have a really fabulous photo project for same sex couples in the Lehigh Valley that has over 1,600. LGBT or gay and lesbian people in long-term committed couples who are in photographs that we can bring around to different places to help to educate the mainstream community about same-sex couples and the kinds of rights that they lose without having relationship recognition. And I also want to tell people, if they're listening,
if they're listening?
If they're listening,
of course people
who are
gay. Tons of people are listening.
Okay, tons of people, because I told 2,000 people listen, and I expect every one of you to be listening.
And will there be a quiz?
There's always a quiz. And the quiz is that you can go to the Pennsylvania Diversity Network at www.padiversity.org and find out how to get legally married in Connecticut in 1 hour, because Darien, Connecticut, where I was married to Patricia, and Adrian is about to get married to his partner, for some reason, Darien, it allows you to do this in 1 hour, and you can drive up from Allentown and or from Bethlehem and get married in 1 day. And you do get some legal recognition. You do in Connecticut, you get a lot of societal recognition when you do that.
It's got to be a form of economic development for that town.
Well,
you know?
It is.
And one thing I say to mayors across Pennsylvania is look at how much money you're losing not having marriage equality.
You're going to buy lunch.
More than that.
Flowers cost about $40.
Weddings is a big business.
A lot of people give flowers on Valentine's Day to the person that they're with, and that's a nice gesture. Here's my suggestion for Valentine's Day this year. You know, if you've already bought the flowers, great, but spend another $50 and go to the Lehigh County Courthouse and request a marriage license and give your $50 to get a marriage license and get rejected. Because in Lehigh County, if you're a same-sex couple, because in Lehigh County they keep a public record of people who are rejected for marriage licenses. In Northampton County, they don't do that. And it's important that people who would be married apply to get married.
This is a historical record that's going to be there forever. Mm. Patricia and I did that 7 times before we were able to legally marry in Connecticut, and it's the same form. And when we started to fill it out and knew they weren't going to deny us, we started to cry. So I think it's really important for same-sex couples to understand, though, that they can have marriage equality sooner if they go ahead and get legally married.
You're listening to Lehigh Valley Discourse on WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. I'm your host, Alan Jennings. My guests, Adrian Shanker and Liz Bradbury, two outspoken and outstanding advocates for the GLBT community. What forces these days? I mean, as you gather steam, you're just like this, like bigger and bigger snowball rolling down the hill. Who's in the way? Who's really effective? I mean, do you have any forces that are forces that to be reckoned with? It's not that kooky minister, is it?
No, it's not that kooky minister, but it is the lobbyists for
the Catholic
diocese has 5 full time lobbyists in Harrisburg, and they lobby against equality. It's not always about who's in the way, but it's also about who's not supportive yet. And if they were supportive, how much farther could we go? In recent years, we've partnered with labor unions and with faith leaders and business leaders to step up and start talking to their legislators about issues like non-discrimination and marriage equality. And that's part of the reason that we've seen some legislators start coming around on these issues. So I think that the wider progressive movement, as well as issues that are related, like business issues and labor issues, we need to form these alliances, and so that instead of it just being the lobbyist for the right wing anti-gay organization versus the gay organization, it's the lobbyist for the right wing anti-gay organization versus everyone else in Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Because that's where the public opinion lies, and it's also how we're going to be able to overcome the challenge that we face of being a significantly less funded movement than our opposition.
And I think that when the press publishes information from the sort of right-wing, flaky, anti-gay organizations as though it was true, that happens too frequently, where they take people who are just totally wing nuts, and because they're the only person they can find to say that something that's anti-gay, and put them up against, you know, a whole battery of professional people who have information about socioeconomic and social services and stuff like that, as though that person knows has the same information.
The sophistication of the movement is increasingly impressive. Adrian Shanker, as I listen to you, I don't remember a 25-year-old with the eloquence, the knowledge, the ability to speak to the cause in ways that that and nobody can argue with. And I think, we're lucky to have you that you made the sacrifice that you do to move this human rights campaign down the road. And I want to thank you for that. And Liz Bradbury, it also takes tremendous fortitude to stick with it. You know, it's tempting to say, you know, I'm going to let the next generation take over. It's tempting to say, I'm tired. But your work, blazing the trail, really being the first person to stand up and speak to what's right, is also something this community owes you thanks for. So I want to thank you both for being on the show. And wish you well as you continue to move this movement forward.
Thank you. It's great to be on the show.
Thank you very much.
Part of the reason, really, the main reason why I decided to do this was my daughter, a 22-year-old, because really the young people in this society are the ones really moving this down the line. They just don't get what their parents are have an issue with. Sent me a video by a hip-hop artist, a white hip-hop artist named Macklemore, who with Ryan Lewis and a female vocalist did a video that is moving. And it takes the issue from really birth all the way to the person's final breaths. And I think it's so good that I'm going to play it all through from the very beginning. So this is Macklemore and Ryan Lewis. This is WDIY, listener-supported community public radio. Thanks for tuning in. Hope you'll stick with us and come back next month.
When I was in the third grade, I thought that I was gay, cause I could draw, my uncle was, and I kept my room straight. I told my mom, tears rushing down my face, she's like, Ben, you've loved girls since before pre-K. Tripping. Yeah, I guess she had a point, didn't she? Bunch of stereotypes all in my head. I remember doing the math, like, yeah, I'm good at Little League. A preconceived idea of what it all meant for those that like the same sex, had the characteristics. The right-wing conservatives think it's a decision, and you can be cured with some treatment and religion. Man-made rewiring of a predisposition, playing God. Oh nah, here we go. America the brave still fears what we don't know. And God loves all his children. It's somehow forgotten, but we paraphrase a book written 3,500 years ago.
Bye-bye,
I don't know.
Bye-bye. And I can't change. Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. Even if I tried. Even if I.